Morning, everyone. Would you like to take your seats? Just like to extend a warm welcome to everybody. It's good to see you all here this morning. First, let's pray. Some words from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Father God, we thank you that we can come as your children to praise and worship you freely and openly. May we never take this privilege for granted. We praise you for your sovereignty over all that you created. You and you alone are in control, and you deserve all the praise we can offer. May we come before you this morning with open hearts and minds, ready to hear your voice and follow the path that you have prepared for us. Amen.
Amen.
There aren't any notices, apparently. Let's say together our welcoming prayer. Father,
lead us and guide us as we pray together in your family. May our church show your love to new friends, and may all hearts be full of your love. Amen.
Would you like to stand for our first worship song?
Thank you.
Just pray for our children and young people as they go to their groups. Lord Jesus, thank you for our children and young people. As they begin the summer holidays, surround them with your angels and keep them safe from harm. Bless them with wisdom and understanding. Guide them in their decisions and paths, and help them to grow in faith and trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good time. Just give you a few moments of silence to reflect. Father eternal, you have given us a world of beauty and we have spoilt it. A world to feed us and so many go hungry. A world of riches and we are unwilling to share. A world to care for and we think only of ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, for those times your heart is saddened by our selfishness. For those times we have no thought for others, no cares but ours. Enable us to see this world anew as a gift from you, to be shared and nurtured, and those who live upon it to be loved and cared for. We ask this that your name may be glorified through the beauty of this world and the service of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Though he was a man, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is.
sing a group of worship songs now.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, starting to read from verse 15. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn son who was raised from death, in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son has himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. At one time, you were far away from God and were his enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his Son, God has made you his friends in order to bring you, holy, pure, and faultless, into his presence. You must, of course, continue faithful on firm and sure foundation and must not allow yourselves to be shaken from the hope you gained when you heard the gospel. It is of this gospel that I, Paul, became a servant, this gospel which has been preached to everybody in the world. And now I am happy about my sufferings for you. For by means of my physical sufferings, I am helping to complete what still remains of Christ's sufferings on behalf of his body, the church. And I have been made a servant of the church by God, who gave me the task to perform for your good. It is the task of fully proclaiming his message, which is the secret he hid through all the past ages from all the human race, but has now revealed to his people. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people, this rich and glorious secret which he has for all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. So we preach Christ to everyone with all possible wisdom. We warn and teach them in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A prayer. Father, I pray for those people hearing this at home or in the Robert Lloyd room or us in this church. Lord, may you speak to us this morning. May you be increasingly glorified in our lives. Amen. This is one of my favourite passages of scripture. I often use it in our prayer meetings on a Thursday morning. Paul writes Colossians to counter heresy. The exact nature is not identifiable, though we can learn a lot from the way Paul writes his letter. And in these opening verses, Paul refutes any notion that Jesus is less than he is. And it's remarkable how he rises to the challenge. This is an amazing piece of literature, isn't it, if you've studied it? Quite obviously, not as remarkable as the man he is talking about. We studied the book of Colossians on our church weekend, didn't we? And our speaker talked about this being a mountaintop of the book of Colossians, and indeed a mountaintop of the whole of the New Testament. So as we go through it, just have in mind, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the exact visible representation of God. Jesus is the God, the invisible God of the Old Testament made visible. He is the firstborn of all creation. Not that he was created. Of course he wasn't. But he is supreme over all creation. Verse 16. Because everything was created by him. In heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, all things have been created by Jesus Christ. Created through him and for him. Jesus is the end for which all things exist, the goal towards whom all things were intended to move. We were created to serve his will, to contribute to his glory. Some of you who have been here many years will know that I'm fond of quoting the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The first question is, sorry about the old language, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Amen. Amen. He existed before all creation, but now he sustains all creation. He sustains it as well. It is amazing, isn't it, what this God-man does? And in verse 18, through his death and resurrection, firstborn from among the dead, resurrection, he has created the church of which he is the head, so he has first place in everything. Verse 19. In Jesus, we see God in his entirety. Jesus is both fully human and fully God. And then I find this verse remarkable. Jesus, this exceptional creator, who is glorious in majesty, who is beyond description, he takes to the cross. He takes to the cross and sheds his blood so that you and I might be reconciled to God, this King of majesty. He died so that you might be reconciled to God, so that you might know peace with God. Do you know that you are reconciled to God? Yeah. Are you absolutely 100% sure?
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord, John. And I do praise the Lord. And I'm not surprised. But if there's anybody here today who's not sure, please leave this building sure. I wouldn't want to be 99% sure on a question like this, would you? It's too important. Be sure. 21:22. At one time, we were alienated to God. Now we have been reconciled through his death to present you holy, perfect, without blemish, blameless, without sin, to stand before him. For Christ is both our Redeemer and our Judge. Jesus died so that you could be judged as holy in his sight. Amazing! The gospel made in the blood of Jesus Christ. 23. You will be presented as holy if you remain grounded and steadfast in your faith. Now this is quite contentious, isn't it? And I know there'll be different views in this building. I'm not going to fall out with any of you over it. I don't see it as a primary issue. But my own view is this. If means we can walk away from the faith we know in Jesus Christ. Some Christians believe you can't lose your salvation. I believe you can. God won't take it away from you. Satan has no power to take it away from you. The world has no power to take it away from you. Only you can. Only you can. Brothers and sisters, the greatest treasure you have is faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't think it's the greatest treasure you have in Jesus Christ, you've not understood. So I encourage you to treasure the faith you have in Jesus Christ. It is like oxygen to the body, food to the body. Without it, you are dead, dead in your sins. If you take nothing else away this morning, take this. Faith is so, so important. It's the greatest treasure you have. So how do we take care of this treasure? Well, our faith is in Jesus, so we must make time for Jesus. This isn't going to surprise you. How do we do this? Through prayer, through study of the Word, through meditating on the Word, through worship of God, through meeting with other Christians, as we are this morning, through reverence for Jesus Christ. We take his lordship seriously. We look to obey him. Do that, and your faith will grow and grow and grow. Verses 24 to 27. Paul explains something of the cost of his ministry, how he suffered so much for it, and his commission to make God fully known amongst the Gentiles. And then the final verse. Paul didn't want to present people to Christ as saved. He wanted to present people to Christ as fully mature. Our vision as a church. Our vision is for a community prepared to meet the Christ. Our mission to get there, to worship God, grow believers, and make believers. Like the Apostle Paul, and I'm not liking him in lots of ways, I know, but like the Apostle Paul, I am not satisfied with people becoming believers. I want to see us all grow. I want to see us all become more like Jesus Christ. I want to see us all mature. And all of you can, and bluntly, should, if I'm honest. Let me ask you a question. Are you maturing as a Christian? And do you even think it's important that you mature as a Christian? There are those Christians who take seriously their walk in the Lord. They grow up, they mature, and they become like Christ. There are other Christians, and I'm not going to say these Christians are not saved, but I will say this, they're not much use to the Lord Jesus Christ, are they? And who wants to stay immature? Who wants to stay immature? You've got children, haven't you? You want them to grow up. You want them to mature. I want to grow up. I know. Give it time. On the same theme, let me briefly touch on the doctrine of sanctification. Wayne Grudem. Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. A work of God and man. A work of God the Holy Spirit who lives within you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit working within you to make you like Christ. What more help do you want? He requires our cooperation. He will not work against your free will. God and man working together to make us more like Christ. How do we become more like Christ? Well, we make time for Jesus. And you know what the answer is? Through prayer, through the study of the Word, through meditating on the Word, through worship, through meeting with other Christians, through reverence of Jesus, through taking His Lordship seriously, we look to obey Him. Do that and you'll become like Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. To become like Jesus Christ. In conclusion, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is magnificent, awesome in glory. I know Him as my brother, but I also know Him as my God and my Lord. Jesus created me. Jesus reconciled me to God through His blood, so that I might stand before Him as holy. I was created for Him. I was created to contribute to His glory. This I intend to do for the rest of my life and then into eternity. And I hope you will as well. I've written that prayer. I invite you to read it for a moment or two. And I'm going to invite those of you who want to pray it and mean it to stand now, please. My grammar's not the best. That should be your love when we get to it. So together, Jesus Christ, we recognise that You created us and that You redeemed us at the cross. We know that Your love for us is absolute. We recognise that You created us for Your glory. We want to live for Your glory. We commit to this. Help us to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain standing for our next song.
sorry, not doing my job properly. Father, we thank you for your generosity and for your many gifts to us. And we pray that you would take these gifts and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. In faith, we bring before our Heavenly Father our prayers for the church, the world, and those whom we love. We each have our own individual relationship with Jesus. It is always one of complete faith. It is in that faith that we are confident our prayers are heard and lovingly answered. Almighty God, we worship and praise you together with our Christian brothers and sisters across the world. Protect and strengthen all those who are persecuted for their faith. With all your church, we pray for those who are longing and yearning for freedom. Guide us and them as we seek to grow in our faith, that we may be led by the Spirit. For those who feel you promoting them to go forward for training in lay ministry or ordination, give them the confidence to know it is your will for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, your world is a busy place, and its leaders worry and grumble about so many things. Teach them the things that are necessary. Justice for the oppressed and exploited. Compassion for the hungry and destitute. Peace between individuals, communities, and nations. Give to those in authority the revelation that Christ is Lord of all, that he may rule in their hearts and direct their power into the way of love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of all, in all the busyness of life, may there be a time for quiet reflection, a sense of peace and the comfort of your presence for those whose lives are drawing to a close. Teach us and those who mourn the things that are necessary, appreciation for a life well lived, confidence that those who have died in faith are now welcomed into your eternity, and the trust that we may in turn share with them the joy of living with you forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, as children break up from school for the main holidays, we pray for safety. For those children who live in fear of being at home with abusive situations, who only find solace and safety during school term times. Lord, protect them from harm. Give them courage to speak out. And most of all, Lord, give them your peace. We give thanks for teachers, for their valued work. Give them refreshment at this time and encouragement that what they have done and will do in education is appreciated by so many and can change so many lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray for your healing touch to rest upon those who are sick, your strength to be felt by those who are tired, your wisdom and your love to encourage those who live with despair and fear. We especially pray today for Kayla and Pete, Peter Hyde, Sheila Coyle, Ted and Mary, Trixie and Malcolm, Jasmine, the brother of Derek, Alan, friends and family of Irene Austin, Charlotte Chiswick, Tom and Bex. And we give thanks, Lord, for the life of Irene. We also pray for Ronnie, Nigel and Matthew as they continue to grieve with the loss of their daughter, Kate. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the hope you have given us through Christ. As we go forward this week, may our homes be places of welcome and hospitality. And in our daily lives, give us space to be still and be aware of your presence, so that we may be effective in spreading the good news. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Like to stand for our final song.
Thank you.
Lord, as we conclude our service, we seek your guidance and wisdom. Direct our paths and help us to make decisions that honour you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may discern your will for our lives. Grant us the courage to follow your lead and the humility to accept your plans. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us for coffee next door.